Mary Andretti joins us on Sports Byline. His career includes winning 111 races. He's the only driver to win the Indy 500, the Daytona 500, and the Formula One World Championship. And you take a look at his great career. He competed for five decades, earning him the Driver of the Century title. When you think back on your career and all you've done in auto racing, what is it that impresses Mario Andretti the most about that career, Mario?
Well, the fact that I've been so blessed and so fortunate to just have it uninterrupted. You know, the sport was not quite as safe as it is today, for instance, back in the late 50s, 60s, 70s. And, you know, I dodged a lot of bullets along the way that some of my close friends obviously didn't. And so... again, to be able to race for as many years as I did, and only have missed two races because of injuries, is a blessing in itself.
Also, is it something that means a lot to you? Because when you think back about where you grew up, how you grew up, I mean, you were born in Italy, you grew up in the chaos of World War II, and you endured years of life in refugee camps before finally moving to the United States and settling with your family in Pennsylvania. When you look at it from that perspective, it must be pretty impressive to you.
Well, indeed, Ron. I always say, I mean, if I'm one of the perfect examples of the American dream, because my dream began there in Italy still, and we lived there until I was 15 years of age, and then, of course, we moved over. And I had this dream of becoming a racing driver, and because of the opportunities that were here for me to take advantage of in these United States, I was able to satisfy all of my most ambitious goals, and so that out of a negative became a big positive.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I was reading some information on you, and your mother, Rena, said that when you were 2 years old, that you and your twin brother would take pot lids out of the cupboards and run around the kitchen going vroom, vroom, like they were driving cars, this before they had even seen a car. And then in 1945, at the age of five, you and Aldo were racing their handcrafted wooden cars through the streets of their hometown.
That's true. And you know, this is something that... I often think about it too on my own, because I said, why in the world did I capture that, you know, that idea, the notion of driving something fast that's satisfying? And the family didn't even have a car. So, you know, it's often said, okay, you're not born with a steering wheel in your hands, but I think it was as close as you could get, you know, as far as is being born with something that it was meant to be my life.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that while Aldo was a twin, twins not, you know, don't always go after the same thing or enjoy the same thing. But that was not the case with you and Aldo. You both had that love for automotive.
Yeah, very true. Very true indeed. It seemed like, you know, for sure we shared the same, you know, the same dreams, as you say, right from the beginning. And we started racing together. We, of course, pooled together with some buddies to build our first car. And we had one car for the very first year, 1959, two drivers. We used to alternate, and that's how it all started.
Yeah, I know you were hired, you and your brother, by a garage to park cars, and you described that experience in your book, What It's Like Out There. This is what you said about it, Mario. You said, the first time I fired up a car, felt the engine shudder and the wheel come to life in my hands, I was hooked. It was a feeling I can't describe. I still get it every time I get into the car. And I think that is the essence of your success, is the fact that you've maintained that passion for driving and for racing, even though you've gone through decades of doing it.
Yes, you know, it's amazing what really captures you at the young age. And the opportunity that we had, you know, just across the little square, you know, where the refugee camp was inside the walls of the beautiful city of Lucca in Tuscany, this garage where it was a parking garage plus also, you know, just repairs and whatever. But the owners, they took a liking to us, and they were allowing Aldo and I to park cars. So Every time I valet a car, I think of myself, you know what, be careful, you know, who your driver, your valet driver will be, because we used to just buzz the wheels and do our thing, you know, just we were practicing our standing starts.
Tell me a little bit about the world champion, Alberto Ascari, and how he impressed you.
Well, that's it. You know, it's something that, you know, he captured my imagination for sure. The way he was portrayed by the press and so forth was so cool. And at the time that obviously I fell in love with the sport, or certainly got my attention, he was a current world champion in Italy, driving none other than Ferrari. So you can see all the elements were there of excitement. And he was my first absolute idol. And, you know, I followed others, you know, Moss, Fangio, and so on and so forth. But he was the one that I wanted to emulate when I grew up. You know, it's it's ironic that I had the opportunity when he was inducted in the International Hall of Fame, posthumously, of course, I presented that induction to his son, Antonio. And so that was a thrill in itself. It came full circle.
Some of your earlier racing experiences happened in Ancona, Italy, the Formula Junior League. What was that like? What was that type of racing?
Oh, I think we'll leave that one alone, because that was that was my entree to the first race here, and that was a little bit of a fib, quite honestly, Ron, because when we tried to start our to get started here in Nazareth with our cars, they said, well, what background do you have? Oh, we raced in Italy, and Chris Economaki, he picked that up and he ran with it. And I didn't have for a longest time, I didn't have the courage to either confirm or deny, no, we never raced in Ancona, no.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know of a resume that doesn't have a little bit of fibbing on it by anybody, so don't feel bad about it. Your family immigrates to the United States. How difficult was that for you as a child, and also socially and emotionally?
Well, quite honestly, as a child, you settle in. You know, it was not certainly not traumatic for us. My dad always provided for us, and we had the confidence that that we were in good hands and all of that. So, as kids, we never suffered. You know, I always say we were never cold and. And we were never hungry, you know, thanks to my dad. And so we knew that, things were not normal, obviously. We were old enough to understand that. And so when the opportunity came up, it was going into the unknown, obviously, for all of us. But I felt, it's fine. You know, I trust my dad's judgment. And so that was it.
Why Pennsylvania? What was it that gravitated the family to there?
Well, that's very easy, because we had an uncle on my mother's side that we kept correspondence with, and he's the one that actually suggested that we come to America, and then my dad just applied for visas, and it took 3 years to get a visa. He almost had forgotten about it. And when the visas came through, it was decision time, and Dad says, we are going to America for 5 years and then come back. So, but he lived in Nazareth. He's the one that guaranteed, they had to guarantee that we would have a roof over our heads, when we got here. And so that's how we arrived in Nazareth.
What were your early impressions of this country, Mario?
Very positive. Arriving in New York was a beautiful morning, June 16, 1955. My sister Anna Maria's 21st birthday, and going past the Statue of Liberty, the background of New York. It was actually a very, very positive and exciting.
Mario Andretti has joined us on Sports Byline. We're talking about not only his career, which we'll get into a little bit later on, but also about his life. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about a car that he built along with Aldo. It was a 1948 Hudson Hornet Sportsman. We'll talk about those early racing days, and we do that as we continue across the country and around the world on America's Sports Talk Show.